Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest. I got to imagine he is really pumped up to know that Dallas Goedert remains a Bird. You can follow Ross Tucker's work, of course, with the Ross Tucker Football Report, the whole deal, everything at Ross Tucker NFL, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, guys. Been a while since I heard people talk about gleeking.
Yeah. Well,
are you gleek?
I was never a good gleeker.
Yeah.
I remember getting gleeked on when
Me
I was
too,
like
buddy.
In eighth or ninth grade and I had to fight the guy.
People thought it was hilarious to gleek on people. It's like, not
funny.
Yeah,
no, that's not okay. That's like spitting on me. I'm not okay
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. Right.
Ross.
Did it get on you? Like, did it actually get on your person?
Some of it, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was one of the football guys two years older than me messed with me.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Ross, forget the big old football guys that are the tough guys and you have a right to hit them back. Did you ever stuff a guy in the locker?
I did not.
I protected a kid.
It's so funny, Joe was getting stuffed in a trash can.
Good for you.
And I stuffed the guy in the trash can instead.
How old were you, John?
I was in ninth grade.
Good for you.
Yeah,
that's good.
You know what, Joe? In all sincerity,
yeah.
Like John, I was the opposite. I was like the protector of the people that were getting paid. I'm not just saying that because I'm on the radio. Yeah. The truth is, if you like are really confident or successful or whatever, you're not picking on weaker or smaller kids.
You're right.
It's the people that are insecure that are doing that.
You're right.
The people that are secure, like John and I, were like, what the heck are you doing? Get off of them. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's good work. Yeah, you're right. I admire both of you for handling it that way. All right, Russ, let's get to the Goedert thing. What a great development yesterday for the Eagles, right?
Gigantic. It was surprising. It makes me play out the whole offseason a little bit differently because I have almost never heard an owner, a head coach, and a general manager talk about a player the way they were talking about Dallas.
Yeah.
And then he's still on the team.
You know why, Ross? I was saying it then, and I feel confident of it now. It was a strategy.
1,000%.
It was a strategy.
1,000%. Yeah. But Joe, I didn't know that then.
No, we speculated it might be the case, and I feel exceedingly confident now it was the case all along.
Russ.
Didn't mean that they knew it would work out, but their strategy was to make sure Goedert really understood through the Lurie, Howie, and Sirianni public comments that they meant business and they would move on, and I think that little bit may have helped, obviously, convince Goedert
It was almost, you know what it was, Joe? It was almost like methinks they doth protest too much. You know, like for all three of them to be like, yeah, you know, like he's been good, but he's on the roster now. Yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. Like it was good. I mean, from that standpoint, it was good. And from the Eagles standpoint, it's gigantic because, first of all, I still believe he's a top five tight end in the NFL.
I do too.
Guys have already talked about the injuries, but man, you think about the playoffs and how much of a force he was, that he helps them become a dominant team. And the reality is, and we can talk about this maybe next week or whatever, but they have a much tougher schedule this year. And looking at their roster, when's the last time a team won the Super Bowl, or let alone repeated as Super Bowl champs, with a glaring hole on their roster going into the season, which is exactly what they would have had if they traded Dallas. So after the draft where they didn't get a guy and he didn't get drafted, that's when I started to think they got to bring him back. They got to figure this out, because you can't go into a season trying to repeat as Super Bowl champs with an important position where you clearly just have backups.
Is Dallas happy with this? Like, doesn't it feel like the Eagles were a bit heavy-handed with it all?
Well, so John, this is where you and I come into play as the former players, and we don't really care for this, right? Like, he was supposed to make whatever it was, 14.
Yeah.
Now it's making 10. And I'm actually okay with the concept of a pay cut. I don't love it, but I totally get it. I just want everybody to remember this when guys hold out for more money. Now, that almost never happens with the Eagles because they're so proactive. They're the most proactive organization in the NFL. But he was under contract. He's a good player. He's a big reason why they won the Super Bowl. And they still asked him to take less money. I think he probably did the right thing.
He was under contract for 14 point something million dollars. They said, we don't want to pay you what you are under contract to receive. And so now he has agreed to, okay, I'll play
$10 million. But nobody listening cares, John. That's you and I as former players. People listening are like, cry me a river, dude. I'm driving to my job right now. Yeah. $10 million? I'll do anything for the Eagles for $10 million. So, and I get that. I would just say, I think Dallas looked at it, and remember this, right? Who would Dallas be more valuable to than the Eagles?
Yeah.
I mean, there are other teams that could do tight ends, but clearly, you know, the Bears wanted the kid from Michigan. The Colts drafted Tyler Warren from Penn State. Like, they got the guys that they wanted. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me to think that someone else would value Goddard to the point where they would trade a draft pick for the right to pay Dallas a lot more than the Eagles are willing to pay him. That doesn't make sense.
Well, clearly,
right?
Clearly, Ross, the league did not value him that much, because had they, the Eagles would have traded him for something else. But I mean, Ross, I am struck by, and one thing about sports is fit matters. All four main sports, how the parts fit together matters. It's part of why Aaron McKee was successful next to Allen Iverson. It fit. Eric Snow fit next to AI. He could defend the bigger guards. He was a great steady enforcer with AI doing all the AI stuff. He was a great defender. The bottom line is Goddard fits the Hurts-Saquon thing. He fits the way they run their offense.
1,000%. And the other thing, too, is a lot of these other teams already have their tight ends, right? Like, you go through it, and by the way, all these guys are now making more money than Dallas this year, but Cole Kmet in Chicago, then they drafted the guy Freiermuth with the Steelers, Dalton Schultz with the Texans. The point is there's not like that many teams that go into the draft and they're like, hey, we really need a starting tight end. We're going to pay him $15 million a year and give up a draft choice to get him. And that's the other thing that's interesting, right? I would love to know, and we'll never find out, I would love to know what draft choice it would have taken for the Eagles to do it. Because they wouldn't have given up for a seventh or a sixth, I don't think. I think it would have had to been something significant. And I think deep down,
they wanted
to probably keep him. Always wanted it to turn out this way.
Absolutely agree. Russ, let's get to some other stuff. It's 94WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast from the Taste of Cake studio. Russ Tucker with us here. So, Russ, our first time talking to you since the draft. We'll do some draft stuff, but let me combine it right now with a free agent, and that's the safety Justin Simmons. I am surprised that there is increased chatter that Justin Simmons to the Eagles could happen when you consider the Eagles just drafted a safety in the second round. But we also know Mukuba can play the slot. You know, there's variants of what they could do with Cooper DeJean. I'm a little surprised that they could still go veteran for safety and not a guy that's going to be a veteran minimum. What do you make of the Justin Simmons situation and how it fits, you know, Mukuba and others there at the safety spot?
Well, I would tend to agree. I don't think that they're going to sign him.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Until after like OTAs and the one mini camp. Now, they don't do as much stuff as they used to do or we used to do, but I still think that they would like to have Sydney and Mukuba get those reps.
Yeah. Who do you think wins that? Those two.
Well, I guess here's how I would describe that, Joe. The fact that they took Mukuba probably says something about how they feel about Sydney.
I agree. Look, every time I see Sydney Brown,
if they love Sydney, they wouldn't have taken Mukuba.
Yep.
Now maybe Sydney surprises them. Maybe they like Sydney. But if they loved Sydney, like if they knew he was going to be the guy, they would not have taken Mukuba in the second round.
And it sounds like your point is if at some point in this offseason, maybe early training camp, but maybe sooner, if Vic Fangio determines that neither Sydney Brown or Mukuba are bringing it as starters, then you sign Justin Simmons. Is that kind of your way of framing it?
That's right. Well, there's no reason. They don't need – Simmons was in Vic's defense for a while. They don't need Simmons to be getting these OTA and minicamp reps, right? Let's let Mukuba and Sydney get as many reps as they can, see how well they're picking things up, and if they're still concerned, I don't think Howie would hesitate to pull the trigger after minicamp and OTAs. Sometimes they let it go into the first week or two of training camp or even the first preseason game before they pull the trigger because they've been very clear that they realize financially they need young guys to play. They want young guys to play. They want one of those guys to be good enough. And listen, I think Justin Simmons used to be a terrific player. If the NFL thought he was still a terrific player, he would be on another team right now, right? Like the NFL is basically saying, okay, yeah, he's solid, but he's not really what he used to be.
Ross, is Jahad Campbell as good as so many people are saying he is? When he's healthy, would he have been a top 10-ish guy? Did the Eagles get a dude when healthy that's going to simply outperform being the 31st pick in a draft?
Well, I think he's definitely like a top 15 guy. I see some of the comparisons people are making with him. Like, you know, I've seen people say he's like Micah Parsons. He's not like Micah Parsons. I mean, and maybe he can be physically, but he hasn't shown that. I mean, you know, I watched some of his edge rusher reps. I think he's got potential there, but he has not shown that he can be one of these guys that some of these other guys, you know, that they're comparing him to. Even I think Howie's point was there are, you know, Penn State has shown with Abdul Carter and Micah Parsons that you can take guys, you know, that are off the ball backers, have them rush, and they can give you value there. I don't think he was saying he's as good as those guys right now. But also, I mean, he's had a knee surgery. He's had both shoulders operated on. And so this is a real thing in the NFL. It's called medical competitive advantage, right? Everybody was scared off by Landon Dickerson. The Eagles trusted their medical people who said, no, we think he's going to be okay. Like we, you know, yes, he had some misfortune in college, but we think he'll be okay. To get Landon Dickerson where they got him, that is a huge advantage for the Eagles. They believe they're doing it again with Jahad Campbell. A lot of teams around the NFL disagree. We will see ultimately who's right. I think the other teams would tell you that the Eagles are in a position where they can take those chances more so than a team drafting in the top 10, top 15.
Sure.
Their thought is, we're not taking that chance. Because the interesting thing is, you know, I've had these conversations with Eagles. I know, you know, like, for example, Alex Anzalone, right, who's from my hometown, Wyomissing, and he plays for the Lions now. Really good player, captain, linebacker. He had several shoulder injuries in college, and the Eagles were not real interested in him. That was my understanding, just because of the injury history. So they must feel better about it with Jahad than they did with Anzalone.
We've had a lot of talk about the defensive side of things because we went defense for the first five picks, but the offensive side of the football, we've got OTAs going on. How is the offense going to look different with Kevin Petullo at the helm calling the plays, Ross?
You know, we have no idea, and that is to the Eagles' advantage. I would imagine he takes some of the Steichen stuff because he's been there for it. He takes some of the things that went well last year with Kellen Moore and uses some of that. But one of the advantages of Petullo being the play caller is that none of the Eagles' opponents have any track record, right? So every one of these teams, certainly every defensive coordinator, they have a book on Kellen Moore. They have a book on Shane Steichen. They've studied these guys' tendencies. What do they like to call in the red area? What do they like to call on third and short? They have a book on these guys. There's no book on Kevin Petullo. So, by the way, in preseason, when I'm calling the games on TV, they're not going to show anything. Right. I mean, they're going to show less. They're only going to do stuff that they did last year with Kellen because they don't want anyone to have any tips on how Petullo might be different. And then that first game, and we'll find out next Wednesday night who that first game will be. That first game, they're not really going to have any track record of what Petullo likes in certain situations. That D coordinator, whether it's the Commanders or maybe it's the Lions or whoever, they're going to be guessing. So that's an advantage for the Eagles the first couple games of the season that sure. Petullo has no track record. The flip side of that is, he's never done it before. So you get the pros of they don't really know what's coming, but the cons are, you know, no matter how much they practice it, it's a little bit different when you're doing it live in a real game.
Hey, Ross, great stuff, man. Love having you on the program. Stay well. Get ready for the next time we play beer pong because the result's going to be different.
That would be awesome. Can I tell you what's deep?
Well, yeah.
Ooh.
Lou Malnati's pizza.
Really?
Oh, is it deep dish?
Deep dish.
What's the other one in Chicago?
Uno's?
No. There's two big ones. My wife went
from Chicago, right?
My wife went to business school out there. There's two big ones that compete with each other. I can't remember. It's Lou Malnati's and then another one. Oh, Giordano's.
Ross.
But I'm telling you, do we consider that? Have you guys ever had it? Joe, have you ever had it?
No.
I've had it.
Yes, I've had it.
Okay, do we consider that pizza?
Not really.
It's like a casserole. It's like 6 inches. I mean, it is so thick. That I
it's
barely even consider it pizza.
Thick.
I'm exaggerating.
It comes in like a pan, like you know, like
it's at least 2.5-3 inches.
What's the
thick.
Name of the?
It's deep dish pizza. Chicago deep dish.
Lou
pizza.
Lou Malnati's or Giordano's. It's delicious.
Lou Malnati's is 6 inches.
Yeah,
Lou
Malnati's is 6 inches. It's the style. Yeah.
Wow, I gotta try it.
It's pretty good.
John's taking tomorrow.
It's
off.
Really good,
it
but it's like
amazing.
John,
I didn't realize it was 6 inches.
I can have like one or two slices, and that's.
I'm exaggerating. It's not quite 6 inches, but it's probably
like three inches. Yeah. I would guess.
And I'm just telling you, my wife, when I retired from football, she went to business school out there at Northwestern, so we would eat this stuff all the time. It's like you lift up one slice, it's like a brick.
Yep.
And if you have two of them, you pass out. Like, it's like you take a nap. I mean, these things are thick, man. They're deep. That's my deep of the day.
It's really good.
All right, Ross, stay well, pal. Always awesome having you on the program. Thank you, Ross.
All right, see you guys.